Hello, good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the Hologram Radio Show. It is October the 6th, and our topic tonight is inviting, allowing for miracles and impossibilities. We're excited about this topic because it's big, it's huge, it's miraculous. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
My name is Ash Riot.
And we together are the Hologram Band, and we have this Hologram Radio Show. We welcome new listeners, we welcome old listeners, and we welcome all in-between listeners.
Yes, we welcome you, no matter who you are, mostly.
What do you mean, mostly?
I don't know. Just sounds funny. Like, we love you, except if you are a murderer. Well, if you're Dexter, it's okay.
Yes, if you're Dexter, otherwise known as what, Michael Hall, with Michael the C Hall. Somewhere.
Michael Chall.
Michael Chall. Yeah, this is exciting. We have decided to do this show without a lot of preparation other than just what comes from our own life experience.
And we had the time to prepare, too. We just decided not
That's
to.
That's right.
Yeah.
We actually said we're going to just do this in the moment with everyone listening, and we invite you to call in if you are so inclined, if something spurs you on and you want to share something or you want to comment on something that we've said. We welcome your call in, and our number, toll-free in the United States and Canada, is
888-627. I thought you were saying it wrong, so I was helping you.
No, what are you doing?
Go do it.
Well, tell them now.
888-627-6008.
Wow. You've been correcting me a lot today.
No.
Do you notice that?
No. I've been helping you along.
Okay. That's what you call it, but it's really odd.
I haven't been correcting you. When?
Oh, many times, even last night when we were working.
Oh, good. Let's air this on the radio now.
No, I'm not.
888-627-6008. And we are looking forward to tonight's show.
I'm just commenting that you're making assumptions.
Okay. So we are so excited to be with you tonight. And we really didn't want to prepare for the show tonight because if we did, like, it's so much easier to not. I don't know. I like winging it. I like feeling that we can just let the wind through our hair and not have to have everything written down. And I like that.
And I'm a preparer. I mean, I come from a background where I, you know, it was about research and preparation, and I would actually chastise myself if I wasn't prepared properly. And I also found in a lot of speaking situations where I was actually preparing to say, you know, to have a presentation or whatnot, that, you know, preparedness is a great thing. However, you also have to be open-minded to just letting things happen, because I've had many times where I've prepared a long time and I actually had notes that I wanted to follow. And in the moment, I was led or called or whatever you want to call it, to sway away from them and actually be open-minded to whatever was presenting itself. So here we are, open-minded to presenting ourselves to you and to receiving you guys based on what it is that you want to share with us. Now, I also want to share with you why this topic came to be. And it was something that was presented to me on Facebook. And Facebook is a wonderful social tool. I know a lot of people are really down on Facebook right now. I mean, I don't really have a personal viewpoint either way, quite frankly. I feel that for me, it's not a personal thing. I don't share a lot of my personal life on Facebook. It's more just about offering inspiration and being inspired. That's how I see Facebook. And I'm a part of a group called the Women's Awakening Institute. on Facebook, and they posted something that spurred me on to, into thinking about this. And this is what they posted. This comes from Lewis Carroll's book, Looking Through Through the Looking Glass. And as we all know, Lewis Carroll is the writer of the Alice in Wonderland series. And this is what they posted. "I can't believe that," said Alice. "Can't you?" the Queen said in a pitying tone. "Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." And I just thought that was amazing. And that actually spurred on me to write my own and to express my own quote. And my quote was this: "The impossible is simply our undiscovered reality." And I truly believe that. And I've seen it in my own life. And I wanted to share it publicly with others, how it affects their own life, how they're undiscovered realities are going. How's your undiscovered reality going, Ash? Do you know, because it's yet undiscovered?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. It's, I don't know, I think that there's a lot of power in things that aren't discovered yet, because sometimes it's more inspiring to not know where you're going, because you're not setting yourself up for disappointment, you're not predicting how it's going to go, and then, you know, you're kind of flat on your face. Or you're really happy, but you know what I mean. Like, so I really like sometimes when I don't know something yet. Yet there's a part of me that's like, oh, I want to know, I want to know. And I don't know if that just comes with kind of being, let's just, for lack of a better word, psychic. Is sometimes you're just, you kind of, like for me anyway, I kind of get depressed sometimes because I know how an outcome's going to come just because I'm quite intuitive about it. And I've cursed myself and said, oh, I just wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't know. And I think a lot of people do go through that, where they wish they just could have more of an element of surprise. It leaves more to not just the imagination, but to so-called fate.
So are you saying in that statement, or those statements, that you don't believe that miracles, like, I'm wondering how you're tying in miracles to knowing?
Well, I haven't gone there yet.
Okay.
I'm just saying the undiscovered, the power, like your quote says.
Well, so to me, the undiscovered goes beyond just, I don't know what I'm going to eat for breakfast tomorrow.
No, I'm talking about a bigger picture for sure.
Well, to me, I was relating that directly to the miraculous, because the undiscovered, you know, through history, we've noted, before we had the oral tradition, then once we had the written tradition, so we have the written word and we have actual drawings and whatnot. If we look historically, people wouldn't even allow for something to be in their reality if they couldn't have experienced it prior consecutively. Yeah. So there's documentation of persons who, whatever was even directly in front of them, they actually could not physically see, because it wasn't in their wildest imaginings, nor would they have ever conceived it in their imagination or in their understanding of what could possibly be possible. So they actually didn't even see it when it was right there.
Yeah, like, what were you telling me about, some ship or something?
Well, this is going back, and I, because I'm not prepared and I didn't research it, and I just know this from my own learnings, and there was a story of these Indians, and I think it was the Spanish, who had come over, and because they had their galleons in the harbor of the Indians, and the Indians did not even see them because they had not even any sense of that being possible, those types of ships being in their harbor. Mm-hmm. So they didn't see them. And I wish, in the future, I guess I'll just look that up because you've mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't purposely mention it when I was explaining this, because I don't know the exact year, and I can't tell you where it came from, but I do recall that
story. Yeah,
yeah, and I do believe it, because I remember when it was shared with me that I had all that information, and for me to even understand it to compute it as being real, I do need factual information, because I'm I'm kind of a bit of a dichotomy in that I have the detective's brain where I require facts like a lawyer. I think like a lawyer, like a detective. But then there's the other side of me that's completely mm-hmm. in the imagination. Yeah. And seeing and recognizing that the imagination is in fact real. Mm-hmm. So I have the two sides, and I won't say that they're dueling. It's not a dual kind of situation that I experience, but what it is for me, I get stuck in my head a lot. So it's actually kind of at times uncomfortable for me. And in miracles, I have had so much evidence and so many occurrences of miraculous things in my own lifetime that I can't deny a miracle. Yet I also understand that others, we talk about miracles, and for me, the definition of a miracle, without looking it up, for me, a miracle is the unexplained. A miracle is something that goes even beyond the highest reachings of our own imaginations. A miracle presents itself in such a way that most of us, in reaction to one, are left dumbfounded, elated. There's an excitement like, oh my God, there's something bigger and like hugely beautiful in this existence mm-hmm. that can provide this to me and before me. So that, in my own kind of definition, is a miracle. And I think that it's imperative for each and every one of us to not be stuck that we can't see those miracles that are right before us. And we've had shows before where we've talked about the five senses, and we talk a lot about the sixth sense. Ash has already touched on it, calling it her psychic ability.
Intuition as well.
Yeah, we can call it the intuitive mind, the psychic mind, the sixth sensory mind. But whatever we call it, the third eye, whatever we choose to call it, each and every one of us has it, mm-hmm. period. You can't go around saying, well, you know, I'm super gifted. I'm better than you guys. I can see more than you. You know, I can be the guru of your life. I mean, I think that's where we mm-hmm. fall into dangerous territory. When anybody is attempting to use that kind of a gift, we won't call it, well, okay, I'll call it a gift. I got chastised once. Remember that situation?
Oh, yeah.
I made the mistake of calling someone who is psychically very, very muscular in terms of her ability, gifted, like that there was a gift, and I got told that it's not a gift. And I actually responded by saying, well, yes, it is a gift, just the same way as if you focus on your physical body and you become very much in shape, or you're a bodybuilder, or you're mm-hmm. a long distance runner, or a triathlete, then yeah, that you're gifted there, that you're focused so much on being able to make yourself better, stronger, faster. And that's how I meant it. So I guess the reason why she reacted so oddly to me saying that, I would say, was because she perhaps felt, I think it's when you, a gift maybe in a way feels as if it's almost about separation. And that wasn't my intention ever, to say that someone had something that another person doesn't. But in reality, that's the case. Some of us can sing better than others. Some of us can play guitar better than others. Some of us can jump higher than others. So what? Does that make us more gifted as a jumper? I think that's okay to say that. I don't think that, you know, we all have gifts. And, you know, the higher jumper maybe has the gift of jumping and the other one can jump longer. Who knows? Like, my point is, we don't have to get so wrapped up in stuff when, you know, usually it says more about ourselves than it does about the other person. But we're talking about sixth sensory abilities. Everybody has them. Everybody listening to this show right now, you guys, you all know it. I think most of you maybe have pushed it under, or you've just kind of relegated it back to the brain going, oh, it's just a coincidence, or, you know, my intuition, like I follow my gut, things work out. I don't follow my gut, they don't work out. It's just a coincidence. You know, sometimes we kind of talk ourselves out of our sixth sense. And miracles in my mind and estimation, reside in that place, the sixth sensory world. Now, they become a part of our physical world, so they come into the five sensory world, but they reside in the sixth sensory world. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yes.
Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Would you like to say something?
Yes. I think that I really do believe that where we put miracles is in a place where it's already becoming unattainable in a way. I think that, like what we were saying and touching upon the psychic or intuitive stuff, that's a whole other ballgame because really, like, what is a miracle? Like the definition of a miracle, pretty much. Like,
well, I already gave my own. Why don't you give your definition of a miracle without looking it up?
So to my mine would be for the unimaginable solution to occur. So that would be like a like somebody who needs some money winning the lottery, like a lot of money, not just like, you know, making enough to get by, but becoming so. It's almost like an oxymoron, like, so from having nothing to having everything, from being so sad to becoming the happiest person in the world. To me, that's the extreme form of a miracle, but I'll just say that. We're already setting ourselves up in ways to think that miracles are a lot more impossible than they are. And we tend to look outside ourselves and think, oh, well, you know, that person, they're so lucky they won the lottery, but that's never going to happen to me. Or, you know, that person...
Found love,
but that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
exactly. So we set ourselves up, and it's kind of like a way of thinking. Like even when someone in my life, like my mom or whoever, says something like, "Oh, this is never going to change" or something, I'm like, "Don't say that because you're just putting that energy out there." That's I think one of our handicaps is doing that. So actually speaking of my mother, she is on line one and. Yeah, go for it, Dawn.
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. One, one.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Ash's mom. You know what? We just had a miracle happen.
What?
The song that we submitted to Dawn, we couldn't hear the where.
Yeah, and one it was probably just
twice.
Our connection, yeah. But we're like, where's the where? Where?
Here.
Yeah, there you are. The where is here. Hi, Janice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love your topic, miracles.
Well, what would you like to share about miracles?
Well, miracles are anything, miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you open your fridge, like everything is a miracle. Everything that God creates is a miracle. But what I was going to say is the closest that I have had to a miracle and the closest taste of God that I've ever had in my life was when my grandmother passed away. And she raised me from a 6-week-old baby, and I was just like, she was my mom, she was my mother, and she was my first great loss that I had when she passed. And I remember questioning and saying, well, is there life after death, and where is she? How do I know where she is? Like, is she really just gone and that's the end of it? And I'm just all these questions, and in your grief, you're feeling worse because there's this uncertainty. And I remember that I got her this, it was a plant, and it was an Easterly. One Easter I gave it to her, and it was 4 years prior to her passing away. And, you know, you both know this story, but this Easter lily was dead, and it was on a porch. It was covered. There was no water. It was just a pot with this dead plant in it. And I'd say to her all the time, what are you doing with this plant? Why don't you just throw it out? It's gone. She says, because one day, she says, you never know. I might need it. And I thought, why? Why? It's a plastic pot. And she says, no. I might need it one day. So I just left it alone. It's her place. And when she got sick and passed away, I came home And I went up the side stairs, and I saw the Easter lily there, the dead Easter lily that I see every time I go home. And this dead Easter lily had a bud on it. It had a bud of an Easter lily on this dead plant. So then after that, the day she was buried, it was a full-blown Easter lily. And then it came to my mind that this was a miracle. It's a dead plant that's had no water in 4 years. And and my questioning is, where is she? Why is she gone? Where did she go? Like, is this the end? And my questioning, you know, how I was asking God, what is this? What, you know, what is life after death? And is there life after death? And she was a very religious woman. And then it came to me, an Easter lily, and it was like God speaking to me, an Easter lily, what does it represent? And it hit me. It means resurrection. And then I heard, there's your answer.
Wow.
That to me is a miracle. To me, it was like God speaking to me to let me know that don't grieve like you are. Don't, because like to me, it was the end of the world. And to me, it was like, now I know there is life after death, and there is, you know, I am going to see her again. We're all going to see each other. But I was young then. I was 22 years old or 23 years old. So you're just learning about life then. And to me, that was a miracle. That was as close to God as I have ever been. Because, I mean, who would think that in September of all months, I could see it in April, but even then you can't see a dead plant that's had no water, and the foliage was brown and it was hanging and it was crisp already because it sat for so long, growing an Easter lily. That is a miracle.
Well,
so that's my story of my miracle. And there's miracles every day that I could tell you about, but that was probably the first real miracle.
That's a really good story. I remember you telling me that and showing me the Easter lily, and that's definitely a miracle.
So I took that Easter lily and I put it into a Bible and I, you know, pressed it. And after it dried out, I took that Easter lily and I put it in my photo album on my grandfather's picture, like my grandmother's husband. And my grandmother was like my mother. I called her mom, and my grandpa. I mean, they took me at 6 weeks old. And that's, you know, to me, that flower is holy because I have it in the photo album. And sometimes I look at it, and sometimes I touch it. And to me, that is a miracle. Because who would believe that? And that's what a miracle is. People say, who would believe that if they didn't see it themselves? You know? That's what a miracle is. When you say that, who would believe that if I didn't see it myself?
Well, even what you were saying about miracles happening even every day when you wake up, I agree with that. Yes. I was going to mention that before, that it doesn't always have to be something so far off to be a miracle. We have to, if we don't make miracles out to be so impossible, we'll be happier with ourselves every day because we'll feel that luck of having a miracle in the simplest of things.
Mm-hmm. And my biggest miracle of all is you.
Yes, thank you. I knew that was coming.
So did I. You're sweet.
But that's my biggest and best miracle that God's ever given me. And that is the biggest. And every day that I have you is a miracle.
Why, thank you. I feel the same way about you.
Yep.
And I'm grateful for you too, Janice. You're a wonderful woman. You're a woman who definitely is about love and action. You show love. You don't just talk about it. And this is why I'm excited that you're a regular, mostly regular part of our show, because you do have a lot of wisdom, kindness, and love to share with the world. And thank you for doing that.
Well, you do too, Cheryl, and I love you right back.
Well, thank you. See, that's why I said that, Janice, so that you would say that back to me.
No,
I'm
you know
kidding.
What? You were... You know what? We were talking about gifts and gifted people. I have my two cousins, Bonnie and Bonnie, here.
Oh, hi, and Bonnie talking, and Bonnie.
Yes, and we have miracles there, like every day. Both my cousins have lost their husbands. Bonnie, the other first Bonnie, lost hers over 20 years ago. And my other Bonnie lost my cousin Randy, which he was like my brother. It'll be a year this November. And we were talking about gifts and things. And your name came up, Cheryl.
Aw, thank you.
Yes.
Wow.
And well, you know, what a gifted person you are, you know. The conversations that we've had, and it takes a while to get to know somebody, but then it's like peeling, you know, peeling an onion and or peeling the leaves off a flower, and you start getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the center, and it's the center of that, whatever it is the morsel. You know what I mean? And that's what you're a morsel, Cheryl.
I like that.
That's really good.
That was probably even better than your daughter's sewer systems of love.
Yeah. You are the morsel. Thank you. Thing and out inside the thing.
Thank you. That's so cool.
Cheryl's
I like that.
A morsel.
I like I'd rather be a morsel than something someone, you know, puts in their mouth and spits out because they go, that's gross.
No, no, but it was, I mean, you were talked of very kindly and with a
that.
Lot of
love. I'm just thinking, I love the way you presented it, and it's really beautiful.
It's really cute.
And I know that you and Ash, I know Ash is you guys are so similar in really cool ways. Like, you say that Ash is your greatest gift, and I know that you've said that publicly, you've said that privately. And and you guys are both, you're so fun to be around. I just love the way you think. I love your senses of humor. You're both a lot of fun. I mean, not only are you probably the most loving individuals I've ever known, ever, but you're also so much fun to be around. You guys are lighthearted. You're great. You guys are funny. And I just thank you for what you've said to me. And I just think you guys are fantastic. And this isn't, people listening might going, oh my God, it's a love fest. What the heck? But honestly, this is sincere. I mean, and it's just encouraging other people when they have people in their lives. It's about being grateful. And yeah, we've got things about ourselves that maybe we don't like about ourselves, or others kind of, you know, we rub each other the wrong way at points.
She thinks I'm annoying.
That's relationship. When did I say that? I was saying you made assumptions. You were making assumptions.
There goes and the love fest.
Others are... It's not me. I'm supposed to help you with things.
Yeah. I mean, you both help me with things. You're both amazing. I mean,
yeah,
I think the miracle is, you know, we're miracles even in relationship to each other.
Yes.
And everybody needs to recognize the miracle of relationship, because sometimes we take relationship for granted, and relationships are blessings. And
yeah.
And they're not always full of, you know, they're not always perfect. But because they're not, that makes them perfect too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, there's that thing about the amethyst. You can't have a beautiful amethyst without rubbing the stone and getting it to be that gleaming, beautiful gem. So we're kind of like amethyst, you know. We need a little bit of rubbing sometimes to get to that morsel that's within each and every one of us.
I am
the morsel.
Expensive diamond.
You're a diamond. Ash is a diamond. She's not a diamond in the rough. Let's clarify that. She has actually got the roughness gone. Mm-hmm. She's a diamond.
Yes. Yes.
She is a diamond. She is so much a diamond.
Exactly.
You know, I've never known a more pure heart than Ash's.
Thank you. This is so funny because we're on a radio show. It's like we're just talking on the phone.
I know.
Well, you know what? No, it's true. It's true. Like, there's no pretension there. If Ash doesn't like something, she'll say it.
Yeah.
And she'll tell you.
I like that. I like anybody to be that way, because nobody likes somebody who's not real.
That is a miracle in itself, people. And if anyone here has ever felt that way about anyone in their life, or if anyone wants to talk about miracles, the number to call in and tell us is 888-627-6008. 6008. And also, I'd like to mention that number one more time. 888-627.
She's getting embarrassed, people.
6008. And one more thing that I wanted to say is if you call in, you're going to get a present. Do you know what that present is? Any hologram song of your choice delivered right to your email box.
Which is, in other words, right to your door.
Yes. And if you want a hologram song, any one of your choice, pick it out on iTunes, and it is yours.
There you go. See? Now she doesn't have to talk about what a diamond she is.
I know. And I can hear Travis snoring in the background.
I know. He's right. He's really close to the microphone. I was thinking of moving him, but I thought, no, he's so comfy, and he's having his little snore dreams. It's really cute. So
he's a miracle.
So we should actually mention that not only is it Ash Wright and Cheryl Catherine Smith doing the hologram radio show, it's also Travis Walter Crash, the Wonder Dog.
Yes. And I must say, quickly too, my cousin Bonnie gave my other cousin Bonnie, it was her birthday yesterday, gave her a book that's called Angel Dogs. And it's all about how dogs are angels, you know, because they give us compassion, they give us love when we need it, they give us comfort. They work in hospitals to make people well. Like there you go, another miracle.
That's wonderful.
Animals.
I think cats are also, you know, all pets bring that to people. That sense of
connection. So I'm going to leave you guys with that thought.
Well, thank you, and love to you and to Bonnie and to Bonnie.
Okay, and you guys are just wonderful, and I love you both so much.
We love you too, Travis.
We love you very much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
I like miracles like that because those are ones that you can't explain. But I know how cynics think because I've been around cynics, and I actually even have a little bit of a cynical brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I was just looking at a wombat.
And there's a part that, you know, you go, well, yeah, sure you think it wasn't watered. There must have been someone secretly watering that plant when you weren't looking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And created that lily. But I've seen miracles like that are unexplainable, and there's no chance that something could have come in and changed or altered it. You just know that that's not possible, that could have been
part of it. And that's where sometimes people think it's phenomena. And, this is, you know, it's not a miracle because something somewhere, someone, even from the other side, has done this. And
well, most people, I don't know how many people truly believe. I think they believe in ghosts per se, but they don't believe in an actual other dimension where people continue on.
So is that a miracle to some people, you think?
Oh, I would definitely say so. I think that's one of the things that I'm actually going to go out and say, that most people are blind to. Mm-hmm. Because they've told themselves that it's an impossibility.
Yeah.
And part of the reason of this whole show is for us to discuss this and basically reach out and say, we've done it, we've expanded ourselves. The more we expand, the more open-minded we become, the more willing we become to the highest and the best, the more things happen that you go, actually, quite literally, holy shit.
Yep.
Literally, holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
And so I know that I'm not special, that it's not just reserved for me. I know that miracles and the miraculous is for everybody. It's not just for saints.
Yeah, exactly.
Or holy men or women. Miracles are meant to be shared, are meant to be enjoyed, are meant to be experienced by every single individual on this earth.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just would like for everyone to acknowledge that, to believe it, to believe that they are worthy of miracles, to believe that a miracle also brings gratitude automatically, and the more gratitude we have in our lives, the more miracles we have.
Yeah.
It's kind of like gratitude seems to be like the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important not only to be grateful, but also, I mentioned this before and I'm going to say it again, is to be completely open-minded. And not only open-minded, to get outside of our own boxes and to get out of our own ways, but also to be willing.
Yep. Yeah,
because once the miracles present themselves, you'll find that you're asked to do something that it's an expansion that you have to be willing to have occur and happen. And it's not something that has to be uncomfortable, although it will at times be uncomfortable. It's something coming from my own experience and my own expansion. I've been asked to go not only stepping outside of my box, but I've been asked to completely obliterate the box. There is no box anymore. And there is quite honestly times when I want to find that box and I want to hide in it.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, because this world is so amazing. What our abilities are is so amazing. It's dazzling. We limit ourselves, and I think sometimes we do it intentionally because it keeps us safe. But unfortunately, what keeps us safe doesn't allow for growth. And when we're not growing, we're stagnant. And stagnancy in this life is not going to mean peace and happiness. It's important for each of us to recognize that life is about change. We have to accept change. Sometimes change comes to us in ways that we say to the world, we say to an imaginary God or a God that we even believe in, whatever it is, we shake our fist at something and we go, this is not okay. How dare you? How dare this happen? How horrible, how horrible, how dark. And I'm not taking tragedy away, because I've had tragedy in my own life, and I'm sure that everybody listening has had a tragedy in theirs. What I'm saying is that we have to reframe how we view these tragedies. Mm-hmm. Be open, be willing to see them in a new light. For example, if someone that we love, like your mom's grandmother, who was her mother, or my father as a child who died, someone who was taken from us too early, or it's never the right time. And Janice was expressing how she felt at that moment, as I did when I was an eight-year-old girl with my father gone, that it was eternal, that that severing, that death was for always. Because in our mind, in that time, when something, it feels like it's literally ripped away from us, we feel that it is eternal, that we have lost something that we shall never regain, and is great sorrow and great sadness and despair. If we rework that to going and understanding, because we know this, this highest part of us already knows that we come into this life knowing we're going to die. But most of us don't think we're going to die early. Most of us don't think someone we love is going to die early. We like to think that it will go on forever, because that feels good.
It's comfortable.
But if we were to rework that and know and have an acceptance that death is a part of life, but that death isn't, death is not the end of it.
Exactly.
That lily showed your mother through her grandmother, allowing that to happen with help. That it is the resurrection. And so if we can even see it that way, I mean, how many of us, if we recognize that this is not the ending, that this is an experience that each of us has, this life, how would we rework our lives if we didn't view death as the ultimate ending?
Do you think we would rework them?
I think most of us would, yes.
I think most of us would, too.
And I think that we also, not to say that we would take sadness, eradicate sadness totally, because of course there's a loss, because I miss that my father passed away and he could no longer physically hold me or tell me that he loved me with my ears, my physical ears to hear that. Right? I mean, of course there's that sense of loss. But again, you rework the relationship and you recognize they're not really gone. They've just changed form. So now it's about learning how to connect with them. And that's where we put the five senses down, although they can serve us as part of our six senses as well. But to sort of embrace that part of ourselves and say, definitely. Hey, let's go beyond this. Let's go into the miraculous, that place that we don't, we're not supposed to believe is true or real.
Yeah, totally.
So I think that it's beautiful that your mom shared that story.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so I want to say that whoever has been listening, or whoever, you know, is too shy to call in or anything like that, I mean, you're not here by mistake. Let's call it a miracle.
Sure. But I mean, it is.
Yeah. I think that whoever out there is seeking to know more is always seeking solution in a way, because it's not that you're plagued with questions or even, you know, depression or anything like that. I've met a lot of people in my life who don't really know which way they're going, but they're excited about that. Instead of just kind of giving up and saying, well, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know anything, you know, take shelter in that you're not, I don't know what the right word is, but just take shelter in the fact that it's not so predictable. And I've had to kind of do that over the last few years of my life and go, okay, well, things that that happen, you have no idea. You didn't know that were going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, isn't it better that you didn't 5 years ago? And I think that's important, because there's a lot of things in your life that are going to happen that you wouldn't have been open to 5 years ago.
But that you were necessary to be open to
exactly.
in 5 years' time. So
exactly.
This is where we get to focus on living in the moment and the miracles that present themselves. And I'm going to talk about a miracle that you and I had yesterday. Ash and I were doing a DJ gig in White Rock at a local restaurant, and we were supposed to be setting up early. So we go over there early in the day, nobody's around, and we pull up, and then Ash goes, hey, there's a dragonfly.
Oh, that was when we were leaving.
We were leaving. I thought we were coming.
No, leaving.
Okay. Doesn't really matter. The focus is on the dragonfly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Coming or going. That is correct. We were leaving. Hey, there's a dragonfly. I'm like, really? And I've never actually been up close to a dragonfly. I love dragonflies. I find that they're very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They bring about a certain message. And so I was intrigued. And so I walked around the van to see this dragonfly that wasn't really moving. And I approached it, and it wasn't moving, wasn't flying away from me. And then I put my hand out and touched it, and it was moving. It was still alive, but it didn't fly away. So then I was thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. This is a first for me. This is powerful for me, because I am so connected to totem messages with animals and with insects and whatnot. So I'll pay attention to this stuff. And then I'm actually,
That sounded like you said, and with insects. I couldn't keep
with
that laughter.
I-N space sex, S-E-X.
Yeah. It sounded like I'm open to miracles with insects.
Well, I'm open to that too. Who wouldn't be? Come on, let's face it.
That's
I mean,
so
everybody
funny.
Wants miracles in their sex.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
But I meant actually insects, I-N-S-E-C-T-S.
It was so good I could not say
no,
it.
No, that's fine. I'm cool with that. I mean, that was meant to happen. I'm okay. I'm open-minded. I'm open about sexuality, too, and sex. So, but my point is that I was really actually attempting to communicate with this dragonfly. Most people think I'm crazy, but that's okay, because I do. And I was saying, hey, you want me to take you home? What do you want me to do? Like, I really felt, I knew the dragonfly was passing away, and I didn't want the dragonfly to be in a situation where they felt vulnerable. And so, yeah, ended up going onto my hand. He climbed onto my hand, and we drove back. I brought him up to my apartment, and in the back there's an area that I have a lot of green stuff. So I took
not him. Marijuana.
Sex and marijuana, folks. You reached the Hologram Radio Show.
Wanting to take the drug. Hey, you want to come home with me?
You want to check out my green stuff in the back of my apartment?
You're just so funny tonight.
I'll leave it up to your imaginations. The miracle of Cheryl's green stuff. Anyways, mine is not marijuana.
You should have just said plants. I got a lot of green stuff.
Well, that says more about you, because I was never a pothead. There you go, Ash Riot.
But isn't it funny? Okay, go on. That's hilarious.
Yeah, see, you go. See, I can say green stuff because I've never equated it to pot, because I've never been a pothead. I did other things.
But still, it was funny. Go on.
I know, it was funny.
So dragonfly and green stuff.
So left the dragonfly here, and actually this morning checked it and found out that it had died through the night.
Hmm.
And took him, her. I think it's a him. Ash thinks it's a her.
I think her name is
Emily. We like to name things. Anyways, took the dragonfly and placed it in with a lot of different things I have gathered together from all around the world. I've got crabs. You like that one?
Oh, that one's good,
I've
too.
I've got crabs.
Today, this show is taking a turn, everyone.
I've got crabs. I got green stuff. But and you know what? Insects.
That was a miracle. But you know what? You're forgetting the big, even bigger miracle yesterday, saving a kid's life.
Well, that was after, though. I'm talking about the dragonfly first. Going. And anyway, so I've collect things as when I travel around the world. Wherever I go, I collect a little bit of the where I have been and bring it back to my domicile. So I have dried out crabs. I don't literally have crabs, folks. I have dried out crabs and shells, and I put the dragonfly on top of that. And so I felt that it was, to me, it was a message. To me, it was a connection. To me, it was obvious. And it felt powerful, and it felt beautiful. And to me, it was a miracle. Now, yes, on the way back, middle of the night, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, Ash is driving. We've got the gear. We have to take the gear back to unload all of our DJ equipment. And I see a body lying on the road, like just off the road. And I say, Ash, there's someone lying there. Turn around. She didn't see him. We turned around. And sure enough, it was a young man. He was lying there. I said, Ash, we didn't know if he was alive. We were checking for breathing from a distance. I said, Ash, beep your horn. Just see if he's just passed out or whatever. Maybe he stirs. Nothing. She beeps her horn. Poor neighbors probably hate us because we're beeping our horn at 2 in the morning.
I'm half pulled off the side of the road. I'm like, I don't even know what to do. I just like pull up and then just like sit there looking at this guy. And I'm like, I don't think he's breathing.
No, she thought he was dead for sure. She goes, I think he's dead.
He looked dead.
And then I noticed that he was breathing very shallowly, but I could see his chest rising. But I didn't want to approach him because I'm a little cautious. But anyways, we phoned 911 immediately, and the operator was telling me what to do. I went to him. He did stir. He did rise. Then he backed right down. He went back on the ground. We had originally called for an ambulance. Something was wrong with him. He was either intoxicated or something was going on. He didn't want anything. Oh, no, no. He's mumbling. And long story short is he actually did get up, and we ended up being told by 911 operator to follow him. And we followed him for quite a distance. Like, he was just teetering around. He was obviously not in his right mind. He was walking onto the road. We were just following kind of like his guardian angel in a way until the police came, and they eventually did come, but we did follow him for a good 20 minutes.
Oh, it was over 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, of course there's that, first of all, Ash didn't even see him. I see this body just lying there.
And I was like, what?
And, I'm very cautious because I'm thinking, well, is this a setup? Is this some guy just wanting, you know, and he's going to grab me or something? That's why I was keeping my distance. But no, it turned out that, thank God.
Yes. Old Spice in the car. I would have just sprayed it in his eyes.
Oh, yeah. That would have been just like bear spray.
Well, it might hurt.
Here's some Old Spice.
Bitch.
Take that.
Yep.
No, you're in the car going, what do I do? What do I do?
I didn't even know where to pull over, let alone how to help a kid. Here's a guitar. Let's have a guitar lesson.
It'll be okay. Life isn't that bad. Anyways, yeah, so the police came eventually, and the main thing was keeping him safe.
Miracle. That was a miracle that we saw him, because you know what? He was walking into traffic.
No, but that's after he was out cold, and yeah, he really could have actually asphyxiated himself with, you know, vomit.
Or he could have been run over. He was that close to the road.
Yeah, he could have. His legs would have been run over. That would have hurt.
Travis farted.
Yes. No, it wasn't me.
No, it was Travis.
I know.
Oh, Lordy.
Anyways, we have an ad from our sponsor that we'd like Don to put on now, because our sponsor for this show is who?
Girl Grooves.
Girl Grooves, your Greater Vancouver and Whistler, BC area's premier female DJ duo. Let professional musicians and DJs Ash Ryan and Cheryl Catherine Smith bring their combined skills and musical expertise to your corporate, wedding, graduation, reunion, birthday party, anniversary, or any special occasion to ensure your event's complete success. Many have raved about their unique and fun-filled Name That Tune show, too. Log on to www.girlgrooves.com for more information on how Girl Grooves can help you make some marvelous memories. Girl Grooves, music really is their lives.
That's right, folks. Music is Girl Grooves' lives, and we also like to save them. as Clearly. Per our last story. So, yeah. Hey, not only do you get fantastic DJs, you get fantastic people.
Yes, we do. And speaking of actually a woman that we've worked with before, Sana is listening to our radio show right
Hi,
now.
Hi, Sana.
Hi, Sana. You're awesome. You're so cool.
I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to have lunch with you prior to your leaving. I'm sure we have many beautiful, interesting discussions to have. And we're trusting that you're having a fantastic time out in Ontario. That's where I just got back from.
Yeah, and she is quite the spiritual person, and she just texted and said, because I said if she has any questions, you know, she's listening on her phone, so she couldn't call in, but she mentioned recognizing miracles.
Yes.
And I think that's quite a big thing, is to actually understand how to recognize them instead of just passing them off as coincidence or ignoring them completely because you're in disbelief. I don't know, what's one way that you actually to have an inner dialogue with yourself to recognize miracles?
Well, this is where it would be great if we could talk directly to Sana, because Sana's a woman of wisdom as well and has a lot of experience with this particular subject. I know she does. In fact, she's out in Ontario because a series of miracles have happened for her that, thank you, Sana, you freely shared with us. That being said, I think for me, the first thing that happens when a miracle is before me is disbelief. And usually it's then my head gets in there and it's going, no way. This is impossible. Mm-hmm. Something's up. What did I miss? Okay, where is so-and-so? What are they, you know? Usually my first reaction
steps.
Is, yeah, there's the disbelief and then there's the retrace. Mm-hmm. But what I've come to do with regards to miracles now is I allow that. That's, you know, some people like Eckhart Tolle or whatnot would call that the ego mind, right? I allow the ego mind that is my part of me in this body. Mm-hmm. I allow it to kind of, you know, have its little, holy crap, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. And, oh, this couldn't be. And you must be wrong. Usually it will tell me I'm wrong, that I've misread something or that I'm not completely aware of something. But then I go into the heart mind, or into that part of me that is kind of like left brain, right brain, right? And I mm-hmm. have a dialogue, and then I go, wait a minute here. This is an impossibility, yet it has proven itself to be possible.
Yeah.
So something is up. Something has caused this to occur. And at that moment, then I can accept it. I can go, wow, and I'm very grateful and very mm-hmm. gracious. And actually, this is what I was explaining before, that sense of elation. Mm-hmm. Because when you recognize that this, it's like an immensity of power, and there's so much love in that power. Mm-hmm. And when you actually connect to that in the miracle, it's like a high.
Yeah.
It seriously is like being higher than high, because it's like everything in me just rushes up, like my blood. I can feel my body, like even my fluids in my body moving around.
Yeah.
And it's just that, holy shit, mm-hmm. this is beautiful.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is true. I'm not so alone. I'm not so insular.
Yeah.
I'm a part of something really fucking big, and I just said the F word. I dropped the F bomb.
She dropped it like Deborah Morgan on Dexter.
She's my inspiration, folks. I saw something on Facebook, speaking of Facebook, that people that swear a lot can be trusted. So based on that, I can be damn trusted.
She can be trusted.
I like that. I love these stories. I'd love to be the person writing my thesis for my master's or my PhD on, hey, let's see if people who swear more can be trusted more. Wouldn't that be fun?
I can be trusted.
I know you can.
My dad can be trusted.
Yes, he swears.
Yep. He is the most trustworthy of all.
Well, we've really enjoyed our show. Thank you, Sana, for your text question. Thank you, Janice, for calling in. And thank you to those who listened.
Yeah,
and
there's
shared
actually a lot of people listening.
And held the space. You guys, that's what I call holding the space, is when you guys are listening. We're holding it for each other. We do love you, sincerely. Even those people that out there that think that we don't love them, we do. Maybe we
don't. Not all of them. Not all of them, I'm sorry.
Come on. Are you picking and choosing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how about we do this? Love is for all. Liking is held back. There you go.
And now we're going to play one of our songs called The Fusion. So enjoy it.
Enjoy it. We love you. Kiss a tree.
Hologram.
Catch you in 2 weeks.
Hologram.com.
Bye.
Universe encompasses me beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled Earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled Earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not baffled with exclusion, bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were forgotten thieves, pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all. In a world of illusion, it serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do is accept.